It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. It is the Mark Lloyd Show. We come at you each and every Saturday morning, as we have over the past year, right here on Freedom 93 FM. Talking sports with you for the next hour. Another great show for you, as always. How can we go wrong when it's football season going on in Tallahassee with Florida State playing, with college football, with Jameis Winston starting for the Buccaneers in the NFL season? So it's all good every single week. I'm Mark Lloyd. Let me introduce you to the rest of the crew, and that is Seminole Bill. Seminole, how are you?
Doing great. Ready to roll again.
That's right, some of the Bill alumni. What year? Are you 89 alumni of Florida State?
89, that is correct.
Is it really? Did my brother graduate with you in 89?
You know what? I think he had an extra. For some reason, I feel like he stayed like an extra semester. I don't know why.
I think he wanted to get another degree. That's right.
Yep. He was there.
Yeah, he said you got to have a minor in. Yeah, okay.
Which wasn't bad for him.
No, that's true. I mean, 7 years in college is not bad at all, and not even a master.
His motto was stay in school as long as you could.
Yeah, absolutely it was. Also, let's introduce Terminus Eric. Terminus, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Terminus, his nickname is based on The Walking Dead, which we always bring up during our entertainment segment. And Walking Dead is right around the corner right now, though we're focused on Fear of the Walking Dead. We'll talk a little Fear of the Walking Dead in our final segment. It's our entertainment segment here. But a lot of stuff to get to, some of the Bill. Let's get going right now in the world of college football. And Thursday night, just an embarrassment down for the Miami Hurricanes, as I say, down in Miami. The game was on the road at Cincinnati. Really takes the luster and the wind out of the sails, Miami versus Florida State coming up in just a couple weeks. But the Canes go to Cincinnati, take on a team that doesn't even have their starting quarterback playing, put up 20 points in the first half and 3 points in the second half as the Cincinnati Bearcats knock off the Miami Hurricanes. And the banner that was flying before the game of hashtag fire Al Golden, boy, it's like a neon light right now. What is Miami's problem?
You know, you just want to look at that game and go, come on, man. I mean, all you had to do, all you had to do is finish. You know, that used to be a motto around here, you know, that when we were trying to get back to where we needed to be. And it's a microcosm. You know, you and I have touched on this
before. You mean Florida State.
FSU, okay. Right. It's a microcosm of what Miami has become. And, you know, we look back and we have an era called the Lost Decade where we just, FSU, that is, fell off the map a bit. And I guess we can say, fortunately for FSU, during that time where we were just kind of stumbling and bumbling around and not playing football like we usually do, we didn't have a upside down one loss record, which is what a lot of these schools, even some of the bigger ones, have experienced, which we lately have not in our lost decade. But Miami, they've lost the edge for a while now. They've had that edgy, flamboyant type of play. They tried to sweep that under the rug, but you and I both know that Miami is only Miami when you can be who they really are. And that's, a little bit of an edge, a bad boy, more of a reckless abandon on defense. They don't have the swagger. Not the real swagger that they need to have.
But they look the part, though. Wouldn't you agree?
They do. You've had some great, running backs come through still, even last couple years.
Duke Johnson?
Yeah, Duke was a real deal.
In NFL. Yeah.
I mean,
six or seven picks last year, some of the Bills. So there's not the swag there. hone it down to what needs to happen
for
Miami to come back to prominence. Because at the end of the day, as much as I can't stand the Canes, much like Michigan, they're good for college football.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know, it's just like the NFL has the Raiders. You know, college football without the Canes the way they should be is rather boring. I'm sorry. You know, we got stuck with it before we had our lost decade. We were getting, you know, lambasted for hitting to the echo of the whistle, as Coach Bowden used to say. But you know what? There ain't nothing like a great, you know, Miami FSU, you know, rivalry game, just like the Florida Tennessee game, you know, was at one time. It's that type of rivalry where you want that game to be big. You want ESPN Game Day to be here. I doubt they're going to come now with the loss. That was the rumor. They were going to be up here for Miami FSU. That's probably out the window. They took on the Bearcats. The Bearcats are not a horrible team. They did hang in there with their whatever their starting number quarterback is now. But they beat Louisville a while back. Louisville's been kind of exposed as maybe they were a little bit overrated. But at the same time, you know, Miami should have beat that team. There's no doubt about it. They had that ball game.
Of course they should have.
And we can't, as an ACC, keep stumbling over lamer foes. We have to win those games. If we want our conference to be respected and to be known for being more than a one- or two-team conference, we have to win games we're supposed to win. And we should have won that game.
Well, let me tell you this right now. As you mentioned the conference, and we're going to get into some of the matchups, but the bottom line is the ACC conference this year – it's just awful so far, and it's a shame. It's a shame that the conference continues year after year to base all their success really on Florida State, and then right below that, Clemson.
Yeah.
And that's what the conference is right now. Nobody can string anything together, and it's really mind-blowing because you look at the NFL draft, and a lot of players get drafted out of ACC. They're always usually the second most conference that puts players into the NFL. The most players drafted that last year into the draft, the most players came from one conference, and it was the Florida State's conference for how many players got drafted. So the talent is there. There's not a very good connection when it comes to, I guess, coaching or whatever the problem is, but they can't. And it's a shame, too, Timberville, because coming off the bowl season, the ACC had some momentum. I mean, they look really good at the end of the year with Georgia Tech playing a great football, with Clemson playing really strong football, with Florida State playing strong football, with Duke seemingly putting some seasons back-to-back-to-back of being a, hey, you know what, they're a good team now. They're not a great team. They're never going to be an elite team. But you know what? They're going to win 8-9 games every year, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, boy, this year is just a debacle.
It's downer, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you would think the programs in this conference at times have had great football teams. Look, go back, Virginia Tech back, you know, back in the Michael Vick era, and even after with their defense, they were a solid football team. Beamer and his, you know, his team was always a team you didn't want to go up against, especially up there in Blacksburg. North Carolina for a while had a real strong football team for a number of years. North Carolina State went in and out. You know, you had the era with Phillip Rivers, and you know the quarterback after that. I mean,
you're telling me though, there's no consistency.
That's exactly right.
There's no string. You know, Phillip Rivers was there; they were good. Matt Ryan was good at Boston. Was at Boston College, and they were good. Michael Vick was at Virginia Tech, and they were good. And then after that, they disappear for 3, 4, 5 years, then they get another great recruit that turns the program around for a little bit, and then they disappear again. The only schools that seem to string it back to back to back is Florida State and Clemson, and Miami used to do that. Now, Miami hasn't done that in 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
And Florida State is getting just absolutely murdered because of that when it comes to the polls. And here's, I'm going to lead you to this, Seminole Bill. Florida State last week, I know we're going to talk Noel football in a little bit, but Florida State, not last week, but the week before, goes on the road and beats Boston College 14-0. And they get penalized for that because of the perception of the ACC, where, in return, Ole Miss goes on the road and beats Vanderbilt, and there is no repercussions. Arkansas almost beats Texas A&M, and it's like, hey, that's a great road win for A&M. That's a great road win for Ole Miss. and there's no repercussions, all based on the conference.
Yeah, and perception, you know, is everything. And you know, we don't get any breaks coming in. They already, you know, ESPN and a few other folks already load up on us because of the perceived 1-2 punch the ACC has, and that's it. But you know, if we just had a few other teams like Georgia Tech playing up to expectations, I mean, that Georgia Tech team that played Notre Dame is a far cry from what I've, you know, recently seen of Georgia Tech.
Oh, they're just awful right now. Then they go out and lose to Duke. And Duke lost to Duke's season was against Northwestern.
Yeah,
it was like, hey, Northwestern from the Big Ten comes in, ranked, just beating Stanford. There's your chance, Duke, and you lay an egg.
Yeah, yeah.
Georgia Tech, here's your chance. Go beat Notre Dame. Go beat Notre Dame. They just lost the quarterback. Here's your shot, and they lose. And all that momentum for Georgia Tech last year after playing Florida State tough in the ACC championship game, after beating Georgia, right?
Yeah.
After having a fantastic bowl game, they lost all of their momentum. And now here we are once again. We're not defending the ACC. What we're defending is almost to the point of Florida State, where what do you want them to do? I mean, really, what can they do? And now, you know, go punish Ohio State for playing in the Big Ten. Go punish Michigan State for playing in the Big Ten then.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to drop them when they have a close call, yeah, they didn't lose, then why should it be any different? I mean, close call, you know, look back at the years, you can tell Boston College always plays FSU's tough, and they're same team that beat, what was it, last year, USC? Same week of the season. So, I don't know what, you know, we have a higher expectation, we're not going to get any love, and as a conference or FSU or anybody else, they're going to have to prove it on the field, they're going to have to just, you know, go out there with a very different mindset and stop, you know, laying the eggs, like you said, in the big football games. They have to win these head-to-head matchups if they want the conference to have any type of standing and not be the one that's looking, you know, from the outside in when the playoff comes around.
And here's one other thing, too, Seminole Bill, is that the SEC even gets the benefit of the doubt when they play the ACC. LSU doesn't drop at all for beating Syracuse 34-24 on the road. It was like a really good victory for them. And I'm going, what? If Florida State would have beat Syracuse 34-24, they would have said, well, let's drop the Noles another game or two. I mean, another slot in the polls, because Syracuse isn't really any good. And they only won by 10 on the road. Florida State shut out BC. It was the first time in like 10 years. It was some kind of crazy stat to do that. And to shut out a team of a Power 5 conference is really hard to do.
Yeah.
And yet LSU gets credit. The Gators get ranked now because they beat a Tennessee team at home when they really shouldn't have, but they won the game. They get credit for that. It's the same Tennessee team that is now obviously falling way below all these expectations of Butch Jones. And here's the Butch Jones right now, you know what he is at Tennessee? He is Ron Zook. Go out and get the great players, no idea what to do with them, and the team sucks. And that's what they did.
Or Al Golden in a microcosm, because Al's got, you know, the same problem right now. He's got some players out there that could really, you know, be the, you know, that impetus for a resurgence in Miami, but he hadn't found a way to get him over the hump yet. And
the banners are flying. All right, we're gonna take a break, Seminole Bill. I'm sorry, we went on. Got up on our soapbox, and coming up, we're going to talk Florida State football against Wake Forest. But also, we're going to touch on some of the big games in college football as well, because we ran along in the first segment. So we'll get to all that. Stay with us, folks, right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. We're coming right back.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's gonna make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers. And my friends, don't forget, Mark Lloyd's locker report for the Buccaneers is coming up in just a little bit. Actually, it's the next segment. So stay tuned for that as the Bucs get ready to take on the Carolina, the undefeated Carolina Panthers, who are 3-0 on the season. The Bucs are 1-2. But right now, let's talk a little more college football, and we're going to talk some Florida State football against Wake Forest. Real quick, some of the bill. I meant to get to it in the first segment. We don't have any time to talk about the polls, because that's another whole 15 minutes that you and I could rant on about the injustices that continue to go on in the Associated Press and the coaches poll every single week. But let's go on the field, and I think, which is really the biggest matchup of the weekend, is 6th-ranked Notre Dame against 12th-ranked Clemson.
Yeah.
And here's why I'm saying this, Seminole Bill, is because if Notre Dame pulls off this win, I think that – or even if Notre Dame pulls off this win, or even if Notre Dame loses this game in a very close margin and runs the table – because after this game, they still have Stanford, and they still have Southern Cal on the docket. I think one-loss Notre Dame team with the schedule that they play, and they have played a schedule. They always do. I think Notre Dame, this is a huge game for them. Biggest game in Brian Kelly's history other than the national championship game. They'll make the playoffs. So, and for Clemson, it's a giant game for Clemson and a giant game for the ACC, too. So Clemson with Deshaun Watson, if they come out and they're able to knock off Notre Dame at home, then they're one game away. They're Florida State away from being in that playoff.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. If they knock off Florida State, they'll represent the ACC in the playoffs. They won't get shut out. No way. Clemson's too good. And they have a high-profile quarterback, a flamboyant coach, a great crowd with a fantastic fan base. So this is a monster game for these two schools.
Yeah, it shapes up to be that way. And definitely the winner of that game, you know, has firm control of their playoff future, let's just say, because all they got to do is win out. You know, that's easy to say. It's hard to do. You know, everyone can have a bad game and crazy things happen. So, but that game could be every bit of an exciting matchup that is you know, should be. I mean, I'm looking for this game to be a real tough, I mean, a mentally and physically tough game for Notre Dame in terms of going on the road. You know, not many teams can go into Death Valley and you know, do what we did against Clemson. That was you know, last time we took our trip there, that was a pretty amazing story because everyone thought for sure that FSU's time was up, and famous Jameis had a different script.
I mean, that was Jameis, LaMarcus Joyner. That was just like you knew that team was destined. They were above everybody else. That's right.
Let's see what Notre Dame does. I mean, Notre Dame's riding a ridiculous wave of emotion, you know, winning the game against Virginia at the end of the game, you know, kind of putting the thing together against Georgia Tech like they did, yep. You know, with the quarterback being out. I mean, this is setting up to be, you know, luck of the Irish story, you know, the lore and folklore that we've heard in the past and seen firsthand in the past. So
yeah,
they've got to go up there and they've got to be ready to play this team. This is not going to be gimmicky stuff like having to worry about what Georgia Tech does. This is going to be, you're playing a great football team in Clemson with a solid quarterback that can move the pocket. Notre Dame's defensive back.
A lot of athletes.
Going to get tested.
A lot of athletes.
Better than they've been tested all year. So if Notre Dame comes through this, then they, you know, they deserve to be where they're at. And not, you know, not just lucky, but actually good if they're really able to put the clamps on Clemson in their home ballpark and win this game. Clemson, on the other hand, has had their, you know, they play kind of like we used to play to their competition level sometimes.
That's right.
They have to be ready
right.
to play this year, this week against Notre Dame. They don't need to play from behind. They need to set the table and let the crowd get in the ballgame and stay in the ballgame so they stay revved up.
Yep, I agree. All right, what about one other game? Then we're going to talk Florida State football. Sixth-ranked Georgia, excuse me, in one poll, eighth in the other, against 13th-ranked Alabama. Between the hedges, Bama's first time in 72 weeks that they're not favored, which is truly an incredible streak. But Bulldogs are favored. You know what Georgia does. They run the football with Nick Chubb and the other running backs. Sonny Michel, their quarterback, the transfer from Virginia, is playing extremely well. And Alabama has a suspect secondary. Alabama has no quarterbacks. The offense is in disarray other than running the football with Derrick Henry sometime. The secondary is terrible for Alabama, but the front seven is fantastic. What happens in this game, Simlevittle?
This is a real test. I mean, I would say this. This type of team usually plays in Alabama's favor. When I'm saying their opponent in Georgia that, you know, has a solid running back. You know, they like going against a pro-style offense, a team that's going to, you know, come at you and try and pound the ball. And like you said, they've got their great front seven. So if they can control the line of scrimmage, then it's just going to come down to one thing. Can their defensive backs play better than they really are? Because Georgia's quarterback is having a good year, and he is the type of QB that can beat you. So if the Alabama can't get pressure on the quarterback, they're going to have problems. Let's just say it that way. If they can and they force him out of the pocket or make him do things he doesn't like to do or feel comfortable with, then they have a chance. Because it's going to start up that front seven. If they control the line of scrimmage and do that, then they're in the ballgame. If they don't, then Georgia beats them by a couple touchdowns.
Okay. All right. You heard it right here, folks. Okay, let's move on to the game that really matters, Simlevittle. In Tallahassee, Florida State taking on Wake Forest. What happens in this game?
Yeah, no, on the road. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I
wish it was here.
Yeah. I was jumping ahead to the Miami game. But yes, Florida State on the road.
Florida State on the road. You know, this is a game they, again, have to go out there and set tempo. They need to make sure that the running game, you know, gets back on track so that Golson can get out there and do his thing when called upon. And I think Fisher's going to, depending on the weather, obviously, because, you know, you've got the hurricane tracking up that way, it may be wet. They don't have a great secondary this year. We need to be able to stretch it, but it depends, again, on.
They give up a lot of big plays. Wake Forest gives up a ton of big plays.
We should be able to beat them by 3 or 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's just being kind. If everything's clicking, that's what will happen. If we see the tendencies like we have in the last few games for pull back on the range too much, and then we're having to, you know, manage or micromanage Golson, then it's going to be a grind fest again. You know, you may still get the result, but it's going to be more on the ground if we can't get Everett moving the ball through the air. We need him to be able to open it up a little bit and start throwing the ball downfield, because that's where our playmakers can be as well, not just Dalvin, where they, you know, we don't want people just loading up on Dalvin. We want Dalvin to have his thing, but you need balance to give your team the points you want. And we're used to seeing, you know, 20, 30, 40 points a game. That's what we need to have happen. And if we really want to be in the mix for, you know, at the end of the year, because we're going to have to outscore some opponents. We can't just lay it all on defense all the time.
Did you know that when Winston was there, they never scored less than, I think, 34 points in a game?
Yeah, it was that's pretty incredible. Amazing stat.
Okay, but all right, here's a couple point-blank questions, Simlevittle.
Mm-hmm.
What what do you have to see from Everett Golson? How worried are you about Golson that he's not picking up this offense yet? This is the fourth game now, and it seems like he's getting worse each game based on stats. At the end of the day, he hasn't turned the ball over. That's a positive. I get that. And they've won. Okay, so I get that. However, the murderous stretch is coming up. And if Golson doesn't perform, to what level do you start thinking of Sean McGuire? And then, so first answer that question, Seminole Bill.
I don't think you think of Sean McGuire right now unless he just goes out and lays a huge egg and starts, you know, throwing three or four picks or something like that. You just can't do that. You've gone with your guy, and the team's rallied around him, and we don't need to be someone else. We need to be who we are. Golson gives us the best chance to win. We need to take the package, the wrapper off the package, and let's get him out there and let him, you know, let's see what happens. One thing I will say in his defense, remember, Jameis Winston was here for a full year doing nothing except watching and learning before he stepped on the field of Florida State. Okay, this is a complex offense. It is not an easy offense to learn. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, a lot of checks that you're expected to know at the FSU QB position, more so than most. That's why you get a lot of QBs drafted, because once they learn this type of offense, it immediately puts them in line to be a pro-style quarterback. Don't underestimate Everett's ability to learn. It's just, remember, he hasn't really been here that long. We all forget this. He walked on basically within the spring, you know, in the summer. That's when that decision was made. This is not – you haven't gone through a full year of even having the quarterback underneath you. This is the toughest part about being a transfer. The maturity is there. The ability is there. Now, coach got to take the gloves off and let him go out there and pass or fail on his own merit.
Is that what you want to see? You know what, though? I think you said it right there. At the end of the day, what you're saying is that now, fourth game in, take the gloves off some. You can't open the whole play.
Take
the gloves off some. Take him off some, and let's see what he can do. If he's going to throw an interception, then let him throw an interception. But it's time to drop back and let the guy start throwing the football down the field. No, you can't just throw screens every single play. No. Now, in order to be able to drop back some of the bill and to be able to see a Lane or a Campbell or a Harrison streaking down the field or a Rudolph, you got to have a little bit of time.
Yep.
So now, when you look at that offensive line, how concerned are you about half of it? We know Roderick Johnson and Kareem Ari, that side seems to be solidified, but from the center and over, with the Brock Rubles of the world and the Derek Kellys and the Corey Murphy, those guys, how concerned are you that we're four games in and there still doesn't seem like there's any continuity on that side, and they're plugging and placing still? Are you nervous about that?
Not so much. Again, I go back to the fact, looked at last year and how long it took us to gel that line together. And those guys have been together for a while. These guys are still learning, some of them anyway. And it's going to come. The hardest thing to have with a football team that you know has talented players and youthful players is patience. You got to have patience.
Yes, yes, you do. It's funny you say that.
That's just,
guess what? We live in a world there is no patience. That's
right.
Why four games into it, we're talking about Sean McGuire. That's the chatter you hear out there. Four games into it, we're wondering what's going on with the offensive line. I mean, that's sports, and that's sports nowadays.
I have a question for you then. For anybody that's asking that question, would you think right now, going to say with the limited teams we played, would we be where we are undefeated with Sean at quarterback? That's the question I ask you.
I think so. I think the true test is coming up right now. It starts with Miami, Louisville, Georgia Tech, and then of course Clemson. That's where I think that we would be. That's where it comes to the question. I think right there is why Everett Golson is the quarterback, because Jimbo is going to need somebody in these giant games that has the experience and say, hey, you know what, the defense is playing well. Don't turn the ball over. And I think he's really banking on by October 10th, after this weight gain, that Golson takes a huge leap this week, and they throw out and they make some big plays to give him some confidence. And then coming into the Miami game, I think, is where you would start seeing the real inefficiencies of a Sean McGuire and why Everett Golson is in the game. Even if he does something wrong, because he's a fifth-year senior, he can come back from throwing an interception. He's not going to, you know, pout on the sideline. He's been there. He's been in the biggest games, been in a national championship. I think that's why. Right. I think, yeah, 4-0. I think 3-0, of course. If McGuire, he shouldn't be at Florida State, period. He shouldn't be at a D1 school at this level if he can't come out there and beat Texas State, South Florida, and at BC, and Wake Forest. Miami, Louisville, Tech, Clemson, there's your issues right there.
Yeah. So, good points.
I think we're in agreement when it comes to that. There is one thing. It's a shame what's going on with Mario Pender and the collapse along.
It's a shame.
Hopefully he'll be back Miami for Miami, because there's no doubt Florida State needs him. You can't just pound Dalvin Cook all the time. On the flip side, there is a little bit of excitement because, hey, everybody loves the backup. And so you're dying to see Jock Patrick come out there and with his big body frame to run the football a little bit also. So, you know, there's excitement going into this game. I hope you are right, Seminole Bill. Florida State's favored by 20 points. So hopefully they'll come out there and really light them up. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we have the Mark Lewis locker report for the Buccaneers as they get ready to take on an undefeated Carolina Panthers. All right, coming up next right here on the Mark Lewis Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Hey, Buccaneer fans, it's time for Mark Lloyd's Locker in the Bucs Report, right here on Freedom 93 FM. Take it away, Mark.
Thank you very much, Seminole Bill. Yes, it's the Locker Room Report. The Bucs come in with a 1-2 record as we go into week 4/5 of the NFL. The Carolina Panthers undefeated right now, and they are 3-0 and in first place in the NFC South. The Buccaneers are in third place. Of course, the Panthers are led by none other than Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly on the defensive side of the ball. The Buccaneers, if we look back to last week's game, Seminole Bill against the Houston Texans, it looked like Winston was going on the road again, possibly to win two consecutive road games and division games, which would have been fantastic. But unfortunately, the rest of the Buccaneer team seems to refuse to help out Jameis Winston on the field. I don't know what Bobby Smith needs to do, but the defense continues to struggle. They are 28th in the league against the run. They seem to do a decent job against the pass. They're in the top 10. But they just let teams run all over them. And then on the flip side, Mike Evans, these receivers, you've got to catch the ball. You can't continue. I mean, it's tough enough for Winston being a rookie quarterback in this league behind an awful offensive line to make passes. You have to help the guy out some. Yeah. And by dropping the ball, Lewis Murphy, catch the ball. Everybody, catch the football. Help him out. And now even the running game is starting to struggle a little bit for the Buccaneers. And it's a shame because I think Winston is making great progress week to weak, but he needs some help for the Bucks. And then the last comment about last week, similar to Bill, then I'll turn it over to you, is you got to kick, you got to make field goals. Those were daggers. You can't have Winston drive you all the way down there, and then you miss a field goal to putting points up on the board in a game that was close, because the Texans weren't exactly lighting up the scoreboard either. And so you've got to make those kicks. You've got to make an extra point. Good Lord.
Yeah.
And that just was the dagger, and the Buccaneers lose the football game. And that was a shame, Somerville. Just a shame.
It really was. Let one get away. They should have won that ball game. They controlled that game pretty well. But what you said was very apropos. When you're moving the ball down the field and you're driving the ball down the field, you're killing yourself with drop passes and not converting third downs. And then you get, you know, a chance to make a field goal at the very least and put some pressure back on the other team. You got to do that. Those, the field goal team missed were not difficult. Not at all. And you got to make them. That's what you get paid to do. So if you want to take the pressure off a rookie quarterback, the other parts of the football game have to be in harmony. And right now there's a little disharmony, and I hope they get it cleaned up. It's going to be a tough test this week. Still don't have, their number one receiving threat, Benjamin, to go against. But the
or their best defensive player.
You're right.
Luke Kuechly is still on the sideline with that concussion, and he didn't play last week either. And one thing, similar to Bill, the Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers do well against the rush. They do real well. They're not that great against the pass. They're 15th in the NFL, but on top of that, they're not necessarily getting better. Last week, I think they gave up 300 yards passing. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, boy, here's a chance for the Bucs with Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. I know they have no Jenkins, which hurts the team, but it seems like a really good week to have some big plays and expose that Panther secondary.
Yeah, I mean, and Jameis can do it. If you give him a little bit of time, he can do that. So let's just hope that they kick it in gear this week, and they come back and get a win at home, which they definitely want to get. Supposed to be able to win your home games, or at least have a better chance of winning them, and we need to start something going in the right direction this week.
Absolutely. And the Buccaneers, when we talked about the running game with Doug Martin, they have one rushing touchdown in the last six games. In the last six games, and this is the NFL, where that's what teams do when you get down there. They're not like creative like Oregon and college football. They get down, they run the ball, and you run it into the end zone. That seems like what they do a lot. But the Bucs can't seem to do that. And one rushing touchdown in the last six games isn't very good. Now, the Panthers, they're going to try to run the ball. So Gerald McCoy is a little banged up. And if there's ever a time for the defense to show up against the rush, it's this week. Because Carolina, without Kelvin Benjamin, they're not exactly lighting up. They only throw for 216 yards a week. They're 26th in the NFL in their passing offense. The Bucs are 27th. They're right behind them at 212.
Right.
But Carolina likes to run the ball. So if you're Lovie Smith, Seminole Bill, shed some light on the situation. What are you doing to try and the slow down this Panther offense, especially since they run? Remember, and also, it's not all the running backs either, right? It's Cam Newton running the football as well.
Cam.
But you have to put a spy on him?
Yeah, I really think you do, because you can't – look, if you let Cam get comfortable, then you're just asking for him to win the ball game for them, and that's what's going to happen. You got to make him uncomfortable. You got to put the hat on him when you can, but you have to be controlled in your rush so he doesn't beat you outside the pocket or collapse the pocket on him and let him run up the middle for a bunch of yards. Someone's got to be there to take him on when he does make that decision to run. You got to put him on the ground real quick, or he'll hurt you.
You're absolutely right. Now, on a positive side, Somerville, is that Winston in the first two games was sacked seven times, and I want you to tell me why it's going in the right direction here. But last week against the Texans, against J.J. Watt, I hate to bring up Jadeveon Clowney because he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
But bottom line is against J.J. Watt, they didn't give up a sack, so it's going in the right direction. Now the problem is that on third down they were 1 out of 12. So is the offensive line? You watch the games. Are they gelling better? Because they're not running the ball effectively, but at least Winston's not getting sacked. Or is it just Winston being Winston, that means his football IQ is so high that he's able to get rid of the ball quicker and quicker. So instead of maybe taking 2.5 seconds, he's down to 2.4 seconds, 2.3 seconds to get rid of that football.
It's a lot of Jameis reacting to what comes at him. And you know, you don't like to see your quarterback having to throw off his back leg or falling away from the throw. And that happens a good bit right now, if you've noticed. He's making some awkward throws to make things happen. He's scrambling away from his throwing arm at times and having to throw across his body, which, again, is tough stuff. But fortunately, he's got the ability to do that, or it could be a worse situation for the Bucs. But the offensive line is going to come together. It's a time thing again. They are moving some things in the right direction. They're going to have to learn how to really – you have to get tougher. I'm sorry. This is the word I'm looking for, I guess, tougher. Just be tougher and you know, stay on your blocks. I mean, yes, you know, J.J. Watts, man, you know, you kept him for the most part away from Jameis. He put a couple hits on Jameis, but they were inconsequential because, you know, he was not sacked, like you said, which is a pretty good stat. But going forward, you just got to be tougher. You got to grind it out. You cannot let the other team dominate you on both sides of the offense. In other words, running and passing. You've got to get tougher, get meaner, and just hang in there and give Jameis the time to do things for you because he can. You know,
Carolina has won 4 straight meetings, including both last season when Newton was, you know, he sat out with injuries. So we'll see how the Buccaneers do. See if they can end their 10-game home losing streak. You can hear the game right here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the NFL, plus our entertainment segment with the Fear of the Walking Dead and the Walking Dead season premiere right around the corner. All that coming up next right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Mark Lloyd Show, final segment here, folks. Thanks for spending some time with us on your Saturday morning. Hopefully you're going to have a fantastic Saturday watching college football all day long. And then on Sunday, you can watch some NFL football. And Similar Bill, you ready to run through some of these NFL games?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Then, of course, coming up just a tiny bit, we're probably about 10 minutes away from the Fear of the Walking Dead recap, and then look ahead to the season finale. And then The Walking Dead's coming up, I think, the week after. So exciting news when it comes to all the Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead fans out there. All right, something about the Jets go on the road to take on the Miami Dolphins. And I think this is crucial, just absolutely crucial for the Dolphins this week. They are 1-2 on the season. They are a giant disappointment so far. They can't run the football. They spent all the money on the defense, and the defense isn't playing well. The Jets are playing just the opposite. They seem to have righted the ship after the fiasco that went on during the preseason. The Jets go to Miami. The Dolphins are actually underdogs at home, getting 1.5 points. What happens in this game?
Okay, now, this game, if I remember correctly, is being played at Wembley Stadium. This is the
Oh my God! It's in London. Yes, I'm sorry. Sunday morning at 9:30.
It threw me too. But when I was thinking about that, because this is a real traditional rivalry game in this conference, man. You know, this is a big game, but I'm with you. Dolphins better. They better get their act together on this one. If they fall to 1-3, it's going to be a tough hole to dig out of. Out of their division there.
Who do you like in the game?
I'm going to go with the Finns. I don't know, man. I think the Jets get jet lagged. I'm going to go with the Finns.
The Jets get jet lagged. Seminoleville with all kinds of puns. All right, Seminoleville. It's not a big marquee game, but just because at the beginning of the year, you and I both liked the Raiders. We said, you know what? We think this is the year. They got some talent. They've done well with the draft. We think this is going to be a turnaround year for the Raiders. And they open up the season to get blown out. And I'm going, and we're both saying, boy, we look like idiots. Well, since then, they've turned it around a little bit. Amari Cooper is everything that we thought he was. They're running the ball with Latavius Murray, and now they get a chance to go up against a winless Chicago Bears team. The Raiders can go to 3-1 on the season. My question to you is, do they? Jay Cutler is not playing, so I think it's Jimmy Clausen is the quarterback.
We're taking those Raiders and we're riding them through Chicago. And unfortunately, for the Bears, they just don't. I don't know what's going on with the Bears. Really, they just don't have any spark or anything to hang their hat on right now. And it doesn't get much easier with the Raiders, who are feeling confident in their little rookie receiver that he's going to be that playmaker. So I think the Raiders take it by at least 4 points.
By 4 points. They're actually favored by 3, so they would cover the spread. All right, so here's a good game. This is a great game. It's the Battle of New York up there. No, not the Jets against the Giants, but how about the Giants against the Buffalo Bills?
Yes.
And the Bills are now led by former Florida State running back Carlos Williams, who is tearing it up right now.
Really
24
is.
Carries, a couple hundred yards. He's averaging like 7 yards a carry. He has 3 touchdowns. It looks like LeSean McCoy is going to be iffy this week and not play. Neither is Sammy Watkins, and they're taking on a Giants team that you just never know what you get when it comes to the Giants. And then on the other side of the ball, the Bills, yes, they got a stout defensive line, but Ronald Darby has like 4 interceptions on the year, Seminole Bill, the former Knoll.
Yeah, it's going to be a little Knoll reunion up there, but this is a tough game to really judge because we've seen Buffalo with Tyrod, Taylor's doing his thing now. He's getting a little more comfortable, but the Giants really they need this win bad, and a lot of pressure on them. I think it's a tight game, and I'm going to say that Buffalo wins with a field goal because they're at home.
Buffalo wins at home with a field goal. Very good. All right, 2 more games, Somerville. 2 more. And then we got to talk some Fear of the Walking Dead. The Eagles go on the road to take on the Redskins. The Redskins, another up-and-down team. 1 week, they look like, wow, they're not that bad. Then they look awful. The Eagles, awful, awful. And then they pull out a victory. It was basically their season last week. But they came out on top. They travel to the Redskins. They are 3-point favorites, the Eagles are. Who wins this game?
Even though Sam looks a little bit glossy-eyed sometimes, I think I think the Eagles are going to win this game. I think the Eagles won by 7.
Yeah, the Eagles coming on top. Actually, I'm thinking that too. As much as I like to see them lose, because I'm not a fan of Chip Kelly, I do think they win the game. Last game, the Cowboys on the road against New Orleans. And the reason I bring this up is, boy, this is the Saints' season. I mean, they're already 0-3, so their shots of making the playoffs are not very good at all. Drew Brees continuing, he's banged up now. The Cowboys, it's like the best time in the world to catch the Saints. They haven't won a game. The quarterback is banged up, and it's on the road. The Cowboys, obviously, no Bryant, no Romo. Do the 2-1 Cowboys make the Saints go to 0-4?
No. The Saints are going to
run. Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, we say no.
Okay.
Because the Saints have too much pride than to go back to wearing those bags in their head like they did back in the day when they were the Aints. And they're going to actually turn it around. The start is right now. These guys have had their meetings. They put their heads together. They've been beating on the walls. Dallas comes in riding with the star, but the Saints send them home with a loss, beating them by 5.
Well, there you go. You heard it from Seminole Bill. That's a nice upset that he picked just then. All right. Hey, our entertainment segment, we bring it to you each and every week. We always follow certain cult shows that are out there. And the one that we absolutely love right now is Fear the Walking Dead, as we get ready to start watching The Walking Dead in a couple of weeks. But, you know, every week we've said strong characters, strong storytelling, and the show gets better and better. And this past week, spoiler alert coming up, this whole how are they going to lead us up into the season finale? What's going to happen? And the word Cobalt came up this past week. And that was what's the guy's name? Daniel, right? Daniel Salazar. Yeah, the older gentleman. He was torturing, which I was kind of shocked they went through with this. I really was. I was like, wow. He was torturing the boyfriend who's part of the army, the boyfriend of his daughter.
Ophelia.
He's in the army. They captured, Ophelia. They captured him, tortured him. He revealed Cobalt. The only thing I found funny was, why didn't he just tell it to him? Like, what do you care? Why even take getting tortured? That's just silly. What's going on in the world? But he said, and what Cobalt was, Seminole Bill, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, is that they're going to terminate the whole community. They're going to terminate everybody. The army's going to pull out, and they're going to wipe everybody out. I just don't understand why. Why not bring them with you? Why kill everybody?
Well, that's the question of the day and the question for the show, because if you can't kill everybody off, obviously there's going to be some fighting somewhere, whether they're fighting the dead or they're fighting their own citizens. It is hard to understand why the military wouldn't have some type of plan to relocate those that are not infected. So, it sets up for a wild ride, because you've seen what the citizens are willing to do to their army to get answers, and now we're going to see if the army is really willing to kill en masse, folks that they're supposed to be protecting.
Yeah, exactly. And one other question for you guys before we get out of here is, what's up with his Nick, who's in jail technically right now, his sailmate, you know, the guy named Strand?
Yeah.
The dude that has the key now, he's just a weird cat. It's like he was helping him out, and then he was helping out the army guy too, but now he has a key, and he wants Nick to help him because he feels Nick is a man of the world. It's just kind of weird, but I'm curious to see how that plays out.
The way I looked at that was...
One other thing. Let me ask you guys one other thing. Answer that real quick. But also, the one jerk sergeant or whoever he was, whatever rank he was, he got killed, didn't he, in the library?
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, because they came out and they said, hey, different plan of action now, the other guys, once that guy's dead. Okay,
right.
All right. I just want to make sure. So what's the deal with Strand, that guy in the library? I mean, the guy in the jail.
In my opinion, he's kind of like feeling people out. Like, if he thinks you're weak, then he just kind of sells you out. I think he feels that he's strong, so he saved his life so that Nick is in debt to him when everything goes to the way he wants it to. Like, when he decides to break out of the prison, or that he has somebody there that owes him.
Yeah, I see it kind of that way as well, but I don't know. There's something about this guy. He's either a plant... he's got a lot of favors built up, and the fact that he can trade and bargain with the army there is interesting. Those guys got him locked in a cell. I don't know what his role is going to be, but he's going to be one of those characters you want to keep an eye on, kind of like the priest was in The Walking Dead.
All right, okay, I got you. All right, last question: does anybody, any of the main characters, get killed in the season finale? What do you think? Any of the current cast, or do they all come back for season two? So all the whole cast comes back for season two. No kids die, no parents die, no nobody. Ophelia lives, the kids, everybody. Chris, Alicia, they all make it.
I think they do.
Okay, all right. Well, we will see. The season finale is tomorrow night, 9:00 on AMC. Make sure everybody you watch it. And then the week after, we'll be talking, because The Walking Dead will be coming back next Sunday. So it's all good here. In the entertainment segment. That's going to do it for another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. For Seminole Bill and Terminus X, I'm Mark Lloyd. Have a great college football Saturday and NFL Sunday, right here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers. Take care, everybody.